everyone. Welcome back to Sport Wild, the podcast. And today we have another very special episode. This week, we are going to share one of our interviews live from Summer Game Fest Playdays, where Matt talked with the developers of The Elder Scrolls Online. This is the biggest year that they've ever had since launch, and we get to dive deep on everything new that is coming, whether that is the return to the Thieves Guild, the new Sage's Vault, the increasing difficult content, how they see themselves co-developing with the community, or, of course, the fact that we're getting pirates in Tamriel and like actual naval combat. So take a listen, enjoy the show, and remember, if you want to support us, head over to butwhytho.net/support and do your thing.
Basically, my first question for both of you is pretty simple. It's just basically an introduction of, like, you know, who you are and kind of what you do.
Sure, yeah. I'm Nick Giacomini, the game director for The Elder Scrolls Online. And what do I do? Day-to-day changes pretty significantly. But ultimately, I'm responsible for the vision of the game, so the what and the why. And I work across all different teams to try to achieve that vision.
Awesome.
And I'm Jason Barnes, Associate Design Director. Specifically, I am in charge of the quest and the content and the narrative team for ESO. So any like new story stuff, any new types of playable content, especially if it is more narrative focused, tends to run through my team.
Awesome, awesome. So kind of the start off thing is, as we sit in this kind of cabana, the Thieves Guild is back.
Yes.
So kind of like, what went into the decision to kind of decide to, you know, expand on the Thieves Guild, you know, since they've already, you know, they were part, you know, of the original, and then kind of, and even so, just to kind of make almost a direct sequel to the original story.
It is a direct sequel, which is awesome. So I think one of the things that we were looking at is when we shifted over to the seasonal model, we decided we were going to start doing more changes, listening to player feedback and acting on it and really making an effort to, that was like our big purpose. And we knew from a content perspective, we're like, okay, we want to do a bunch of new things, because that's also experimenting with new types of content, trying new things. That's a big part of it. And we're looking at, okay, well, what we're doing that, we're improving other things. What's really iconic? What is something that is a system in our game that we haven't touched in a while? And that's what we call our justice system. And so we looked at it and we were like, we've done the Thieves Guild, but we've never told the story of like what happens when a new one spins up somewhere else, and like what goes into that, and how that actually forms. And we knew we were going to go back to one of our original zones and do some updates. So we decided, we were like, okay, let's do that and look at other things we can improve upon as well. So we also looked at introducing, we have some new like items. We have this powder now that you can throw at guards and distract them. There's more things you can interact with in the world. So if you're sneaking around, you can hop in like plant pots now, or hide behind curtains and things like that. I think that was part of it, is just looking at how we can improve a lot of the base game stuff and add to it and adjust it. And that was a system we hadn't really touched in a while. Plus, everyone loves the Thieves Guild.
Yes.
So being able to revisit that story and tell a sequel story that connects in some ways and gives you a payoff if you have done the original. You can also do it in any order.
Right.
But it felt like it was the right time to do it, and we had a lot of kind of fun, like, little things that we could do with it. So, yeah, that's kind of how we landed on it.
Awesome. So kind of, you talked about, like, adding a bunch of new content. We kind of get to be a pirate as well. So kind of like the high seas of Tamriel. Kind of, can you kind of give me, like, a brief description of, like, kind of what is it and what players can kind of expect?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I'm really excited by the high seas of Tamriel event that's coming. So, you know, most of the events in ESO have been amplifiers, right?
Right.
So, like, we have the White Strix Mayhem event that makes PvP more rewarding, and we have the anniversary event that makes Overland more rewarding, and so on, right? It's like, so they're very much about, like, how can we, you know, make what's already there, like, you know, more interesting, more fun, more rewarding for players. The High Seas of Tamriel is going to be completely different. So it is a destination, right? It's not just an amplification of the world, but it has a gameplay loop that is, on and in the sea, right?
Right.
So there's going to be naval battles there. Now, we didn't, create this recreate Sea of Thieves in our game, but
right.
you know, like naval battles to allow players to, you know, they have to defend their ship. Fires everywhere. Enemies are going to be bored, and they're going to be trying to attack enemy ships. So that's something that, you know, we've never really done before. It's going to be really fun. You get to go underwater to explore. Physics are different there, and you're underwater. And that's going to open up new exploration mechanics and combat mechanics for players to engage in. And it's this new, and plus, you know, underwater, there are messages and bottles and things like that that you would expect for players to collect and find to unlock new story, unlock new rewards and things like that. So we're trying a lot more that's like experimental different this year. And this is just a really great example of that. Like the night market was... in terms of like a very different type of zone experience, right? We called it the event zone. Unlike most of our zones, it's less sprawling, more tight, very action-packed, high level of difficulty, group-oriented, and just so much fun to engage in, and our players absolutely loved it. This is similarly for events, like a completely new type of event for players to experience.
And what was it like is kind of making some of this underwater stuff, because outside, I believe, the Argonians, the rest of the races can't hold their breath.
Yep.
Or have to hold their breath.
Yeah, it was in Graven Deep. We had a mechanic that, you know, players could go underwater. It's a similar concept here, but you know, and now we have a game where we're at it. Where I don't want to give too much, but you know, there's a bubble that allows players to be underwater. But that bubble is actually a part of being underwater, and if it pops, like that's problematic. So that is how players are able to explore.
So obviously, I know this is just a, like kind of an event and everything experimental, but I guess for you, was there any like story elements you got to write or kind of check out during this event, or was it just more of like, hey, we have a gameplay loop, you're going to be a pirate, we're going to do some naval combat, and it's like...
Yeah, no, every event that we do, we always make sure there's like some interesting narrative hook to it, some story to it. In this case, there's a quest that's associated with it that talks about like this haunted pirate ship and all that. So it makes sense. There's something that kind of leads you from point A to point B to point C and kind of wraps you through it. So it's not just like, oh, these are just a bunch of random things that are happening. It'll guide you through. It'll tell a little bit of story. And then as you go into the underwater area and start exploring more and finding these like messages in the bottles and discovering some of the bosses and stuff like that, you'll uncover more of the story and like what's actually happening and going on. So it's something that I think every time we do an event, we always make sure there is a narrative hook and there's a story. So there's a reason why it exists in the world. That's always important to us. We can do cool things, but why does it exist in the Elder Scrolls world? Yeah, so that's a really important part of it. And our event team, who is also our lore master, put a lot of time and effort to make sure and work with like the previous people that worked on it. There was a lot of moving parts, but yeah, we made sure there was a cool story with it, everything.
Awesome. And obviously something else that you guys got is this new Sage Vault. And it's kind of, well, I guess I kind of want to know, what were some of the challenges and if there were any limitations in which you're kind of doing more of a puzzle-driven type vault and dungeon, and there's, like, not really focused on combat.
I always say with the seasonal model, it's my favorite quote, is one of the things, because we wanted to try new things, is throwing the spaghetti at the wall,
right,
seeing what sticks. The Sage's Vault is, like, the definition of that. We've had lots of arenas, we've had trials, we've had dungeons, and they've all been heavily combat-oriented. But we want to say, what if we could take a step back and do something that's more geared towards, I don't want to say the casual player, but the more story-oriented player, maybe the player that doesn't necessarily do the hardcore combat. And so the team kind of looked at, okay, we're going to build this thing that has a like randomization to it, the rooms change order, you never know what you're going into, and we're going to theme each room. We're going to have like a specific gameplay element that is unique and feels different. So there is some combat, but it's not like hardcore combat. It may be I go into a room and poison's filling up the room, and I need to figure out how to get rid of the poison before it overwhelms me and then like kill the creature that might be producing it. Or I may go into another room that is more stealth-focused, where these songstresses are singing from the shadows and I can't see them and I have to listen. Or we also, for the Harry and Pyrrhic, we'll have like a visual cue as well. but if you make any sounds, they get notified and they'll teleport around. So if you walk through water and it splashes, they'll hear it. If you step on a trap, they'll hear it. And then we might have a room where it's a bunch of floating platforms and there's these secret switches and you flip it and a star bridge appears. And you have to run across it before time runs out and kind of figure out where to go next and everything. And each room has a reward to it. So I do this room. It gives me a treasure chest. I feel really good about that. And I can do these and kind of do this loop over and over. But underneath it all is every room has a secret. And I need to figure out what that secret is and how it connects to other rooms. And then once I unlock that, how does this actually, like, maybe if I find something here, I bring it into another room, and it does something different, and then I find something there, and I need to have to figure it out. That's unlike anything we've really done before.
It sounds like there's a lot of creativity that goes
in
here.
No, I was just going to say, and if you do figure it all out, there's a cool, like, griffin mount that you earn at the end of it. But yeah, we wanted to say, hey, we're not going to tell you how to do this. We're going to give you clues. If you search around the vault, you'll find things that help you out. But we want to let the community to kind of like work together and have chats and discussions and figure out how this all connects. And yeah, it's unlike anything we've really done before, and the team's super excited about it.
Jason and I, like, first, we were talking about, you know, just content plans for the next, like, year or two. That was one of, Seasons Vault is a great example of, like, so one of the things that we're trying to accomplish, which is, you know, the Elder Scrolls Online has been, it's been very successful. It's been around for a long time, but a constant, like, feedback that we heard was, we want you guys to excite us more. If you've done, we've seen this before with chapters, can you? And so we set about, like, how can we make this content, how can we build content that it's going to feel like Elder Scrolls Online and be completely different as well, and introduce new systems that allow us to build more interesting content for our players? And the Sage as well is just another example. It's going to be unlike anything that players have ever seen, and we're really interested to get it in the hands of players so that they can see and experience it, tell us what they like, tell us what they don't, and allow us to build on, or, you know, take things that are working and implement elsewhere and pivot where it's not. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a theme throughout, like, all of what we're doing is familiar, right, but also evolution and new, exciting.
Kind of to go off of that, like, what was the, I guess, the weirdest one that you all designed that you're kind of excited for players to, like, test out to see if they can actually figure it out?
Let me think about that.
Any rumors stand out to you?
Yeah, like, we have this new system called Rumors that, essentially what it is, I always refer to it as, for anyone who played Morrowind Test 3, the quests weren't guided.
Right.
You basically got in, you're like, alright, I better get out a map and start taking some notes. We didn't want to go that crazy with it, but we introduced this new thing in Season 1 where, essentially, the example I give is you find a body in the middle of nowhere and there's a note next to it. And it's a little glow on the note to show that's a rumor, but that's it. There's no UI element. You pick it up and the note basically says, hey, you know, the boss is on to us. He knows what we're up to. Meet me at this location. Or we'll may even tell you the exact location. It might be something vague. And then we'll discuss more things there. And you're like, and that's all you get. You don't get anything that tells you where to go. It goes into a new UI element that's actually a rumors element where you collect clues. And it's up to the player to figure out, okay, I need to do this next. And they go there and they may find more clues. And then they're like, okay, I have to decipher what these all mean and put them together. And almost all of them, if not all of them, have multiple endings. So you may say, oh yeah, I figured it out. It was, you know, the sheriff did it. And you're like, okay, I got my reward or whatever. But for the player who's like, there's something off about this, there's another clue I found that I haven't figured out how it all hooks up to other things, I may go and investigate one other thing. And like, oh, actually, it was something completely different, and the sheriff was set up, and I'm going to get a different reward. That is a new system, and that's all throughout. We kind of spread them throughout the world, and we're going to continue to do those because we have so much fun making those. I think that is the most, like, okay, cool, we're going to throw some of these, like, clues out into the world and let the players figure them out on their own and see, is it not enough, is it too much, and how they respond. But we've had a blast making them, so I'm really looking forward to getting it into the players' hands.
Is there any falling gnomes that are going to hit anybody while they're walking through the woods?
No, not yet.
Kind of the next thing is, obviously you are getting challenge difficulty coming. I guess, why do y'all just, why do y'all decide to go with that? Was that something you always wanted to do, or is that just something that based on feedback, you know?
I mean, challenge, yes, it's coming up tomorrow, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's we changed the seasonal model to be able to build more what our players want us to build, right? The chapter model, while it was wonderful in many ways, it was very restrictive. It was very all hands on deck, right? 2-year commitment in order to do this. And while we were able to do some new things, it was very limiting in terms of taking in player feedback, right? Trying to adjust because we had these deliverables that we needed to hit. And, you know, if we got feedback about one chapter, we were well underway on the next one by that point. And so challenge difficulty is one of the things that rose to the top. It's one of the most requested features that we've seen in our game, where many players find that the Overland is just, they want it to be more engaging. So in terms of why now, it's because we're trying to build what our players want more than ever and trying to provide them what they're hoping from us. And this is just one example of many things that are coming over the course of the next few years where our players have asked for this, and so we're going to bring it to the game. This is just the first step. That's another change. A lot of times we would build things behind closed doors and then show it when it was ready, but that is also very limiting, right? Because you can't, by that point, it's like, well, what are we going to adjust? There's not too much. Sure, there's some things, whereas now we want to get it out, see what players think, and lean in where they want us to change things and add to it accordingly. So, yeah, I think that's probably the main reason why now, because this is the year that this isn't just a temporary goal. Where we are trying to build, we're trying to co-develop the game with our community. It's not just it's not just something that we're saying. I hope that that's becoming clearer to players. This is their home, this is our home, and they should have a say in how that home is built, right?
Right.
And so we want to build features and content that our players love, and overland difficulty, challenge difficulty is one of the things we're most excited about because of how requested it's been.
Awesome. I guess kind of go to that, it seems like, because you got the challenge difficulty coming, more dynamic events. I guess was that kind of, and obviously, I guess listen to the players. I mean, was the focal point to kind of get people to start playing together, or just want to explore more? It seems like you're wanting people to go all over the map now.
Yes, that's certainly part of it. It's that was one of the main reasons for making all new content and features free, is because it was actually the chapter model was working against us, because we'd release this new stuff and had to pay for it. That would split friends up, it would split players up. And so we wanted to walk away from that so that when we made something new, everybody got to experience it together. So that's really important for us, just kind of generally going forward. And in terms of exploring the world, yeah, absolutely. We're talking about making foundational changes, right? And yes, that has to do with the systems that we have in game. We're revisiting justice and that whole thing. We are revisiting is an understatement for what we're doing with classes.
Right.
We're just foundationally changing things mechanically and visually. And that extends to the rest of the world. We have so much of Tamriel in that map and zones that players can experience. And instead of always just chasing the next big thing, the next new zone, we wanted to invest more in what's there, right? That doesn't mean we're not going to be doing new zones. We absolutely are. We're going to be going to Skyrim in the very near future, as an example. But we want to make Tamriel feel more alive, give players more reasons to spend time in these beloved zones that haven't been touched in a really long time, or have been touched minimally over the years.
Awesome. And I guess kind of that point, so how does, I guess, the challenge difficulty and all these, between the rumors and everything, and then dynamic events, and even, I think, the favors that have kind of been moved in, how does that all kind of, work together? Because now we're going to have players on different difficulty levels, looking for different things. How do you all end up weaving and balancing that all together?
With challenge difficulty specifically, that is a point of view that players have expressed of why can't we separate. So it's something that we're listening to and we're thinking about. But we wanted to have players play together to the extent that's possible and have as little friction with that as possible. So we're gonna see how it works. There's a reason that
a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems a very big year.
There's a lot of things a lot of what we're doing, like, we're, it's the right way to characterize it, we're trying new things. We're trying things that, you know, a lot of it is directly related to what players have been asking for. A lot of it is new that we think that we're excited about, that we think is going to resonate with the players. We don't expect, you know, we're people. We're not perfect. Right. We're going to stumble. We want to be able to, like, get stuff out there, but not let that limit us either in terms of putting new things out. I think that, like, the changing furnishings limits recently is a good example, where a lot of the reason historically that wasn't implemented was because increasing the furnishing limits for manors is extremely complex. It's actually in development right now, which is cool, but I don't want to make promises yet, because that is technically very difficult for us to do. We're trying some things, but instead of not doing it, right, not doing it for the smaller homes, the medium-sized homes, the larger homes, like, in the past, it was kind of like this limitation, like, well, it's not going to be perfect, so we shouldn't do it. Instead, we want to get things into the hands of players faster, try it out, see what works. And again, when we're talking about co-developing with the players, like, this is part of it. So how is it all going to work together? I mean, we have a really smart, really creative team. We think it's going to work really well, but we don't want, you know, we don't want that fear to limit us in terms of trying new things and getting things into the hands of players so that they can give us feedback so that we can build and adjust the roadmap accordingly.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. Like, I really enjoy it. I like that you are not afraid to take risks and try new things. I mean, I think that's exciting, because I do think, in long-standing games, you know, like this one, that, you know, you kind of get into, like, this mundane just loop over and over. Oh, yeah, I get this new reward system. I get new everything else. So throwing a loop in is good.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I guess for you, as they're kind of updating everything, how's it been, like, working on, I guess, if you have to, like, update stories or any of the lore issues or anything going back? Or
It's always been an interesting, I call it the narrative puzzle, because ESO has always been very much a game where you can do anything in any order. And when you step back and you have thousands and thousands of hours of content, what it feels like. And choices you make during quests that get remembered, and characters you've met, and all this, it creates this very complex web of connection and things like that. And one of the things that also made it difficult was we never advanced the timeline in the past. It was always like, it takes place exactly here in this undefined area of time, and you can do it in any order and all that. And so it was like, okay, well, we can... It's a little bit harder to do all that. I joke around. I said, it's like writing a bunch of books, but you only write chapter 1 and 2 and can't continue, and then you go start another one. But one of the things that we're committed to that's actually helping out a little bit is we're moving the timeline forward.
Okay.
So every time we have a new release with story, time is advanced. And that is now allowing us to actually unweave some of those things and continue some character arcs or story arcs and things like that. Or the Thieves Guild's a good example, where if you want to go and just play the new Thieves Guild content and have never done the original, you absolutely can. We don't want to stop you from doing that, because it's not our game. But now if you go to pick it up, you'll get a pop-up that says, hey, this takes place after the original Thieves Guild. If you want to do it in order, go do the original first and then come back to this NPC. And that's not something we've ever done before. And so we're going to look at integrating more of that stuff and kind of helping guide players to, hey, there's, you know, if you want to do things in a specific order, in a chronological order, you can do it this way. But it also, one of the cool things is it lets us make these kind of long-term stories now, and these long, like, narrative arcs that's like, oh, we're going to mess up the world in some interesting ways, and we can do that now because the timeline is advancing, and these characters that we've known and loved for years now have payoffs and story arcs that end, or new ones that begin, or maybe something that happened in this zone now can have a continuation if we revisit it another time. So, it is a complex puzzle that has a million pieces that we're constantly adjusting, but I think with everything moving forward, it's actually simplified and made it a little bit easier. And in a lot of the players' eyes, they're finally getting payoff for things that they've been waiting for years. And so that's been a big benefit. But yeah, it's amazing when you have so many threads and making them all work and not crossing wires. It's a challenge that's really unique.
So when you talk about your kind of like, that's fine.
Okay.
And kind of like my final question, I know I asked you like kind of the weirdest, like the rumors, but I guess what are you most excited for players to experience with all, I guess, just in even season one?
In season one specifically? I'm most excited about. Can I get two answers?
Sure, go for it.
There are two things that I'm most excited about. One is about the future, and one is more about the present. I'm really excited by dynamic encounters. It's a new system where it makes the world feel more alive. Where these things can happen out in the world. It's limited to start, right? We're just doing Lunumbra, Auradon, and
Stonefalls.
Stonefalls, thank you. To start, and they're sort of similar to our incursions, like Dark Acres, except they can pop up, sort of at any time. So it's not just like, one to one to one to one. Instead of just being like in place, like they're often phases, right? And instead of being very combat focused, they're certainly combat as part of it, but there's like, you might have to collect eels or something like that in order to like take them, help like help a character get to their grandmother to help them, and like then I don't want to give too much away, but
stuff goes wrong
like along the way. So there's like escort elements, there's collection elements, there's new mechanics for players, etc. And it just makes the world feel more alive. The reason I love it for the future is because, well, what's happening, yes, it's exciting. It is just kind of a first step, but what it represents is, like, this new tech that we're building that is going to allow us to make both new zones and, like, when we revisit older zones, just more alive, more dynamic, and more interesting and more engaging, and allow players to experience the world in just completely new and different ways and make it feel more, just, again, alive as opposed to static. So I'm really excited not just by what's coming, because I think, like I said, what's coming is kind of subtle. It's like really a first step, but this technology that we're building, I think, is going to change the way that we build ESO in the future. And I'm really excited, a few years from now, as we continue to build this out, as we continue to exit, just how different the world is going to look. So that's like for the future. For the present, it's definitely Sage's Fault, the thing that I'm looking most forward to, just because it is so different. And I think it's going to be really fun. I don't know exactly. I think I'm very curious to see like how players respond to it. But it is such a departure from what we have done before. It is such a new way to engage in the content that I'm just really looking forward to it, and can't wait to see how players respond to it and see what we can take again from this to put it in the future. But I think it's going to be really fun and engaging. I don't think it's going to be for everybody. But I think that for some players who have experienced a lot of our zones as, a lot of kill, fetch, scout, and things like that, with maybe some puzzles, like this is very puzzle-centric, and it's just going to be, I think, a breath of fresh air for a lot of players. So those are the two that I probably, of course, season one specifically.
Awesome. Do you have anything?
Mine's actually season zero, but it affects season one, which is the challenge difficulty. And the reason why is we're already seeing early feedback that is changing how players are engaging in the content. At a certain level, you get really powerful and the overworld can get easy. That's something that happens in a lot of games. But the fact that you can crank up the difficulty now and engage in things that can now one-shot you or whatever, players are now, they're looking back and they're like, holy crap, I'm more engaged, I'm more, drawn to this content now, and, I have to pay attention. I have to, figure out, oh, wow, this boss actually has multiple mechanics, but I was killing him so fast. So I think that's the biggest thing, because it just connects to everything in the game, and especially when it comes to quests and content. We've seen people say, I'm going to go back and I'm going to replay a bunch of these quests on another character now, and I'm going to crank up the difficulty and just see how different it feels. And so far, people are just they're like, yes, this is awesome, I've been looking forward to it. And yeah, we'll make tweaks, we'll make adjustments, but I think for me, that is the biggest thing I'm looking forward to.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Oh, no, thank you all.